Hello everyone, I'm Jeremy Ellis, and welcome to Penny Tolerable, a show where two large adult siblings talk about movies, TV, comics, and whatever else. We spend a lifetime together, so you can spend some time with us. Now, I'm a little perturbed by my guest, because I've had to bail him out of a Hawaiian jail 83 times.
Oh yeah, sorry about that, mea culpa.
Turns out that your idea of pissing in a bottle and throwing it at people and then turning it into an NFT wasn't a good idea.
Okay, see, in my defense, because I was stuck on Hawaii, I've been labeled a flight risk. So when I would piss in the bottle, that was actually a message that I was trying to send back to the mainland. Oh. That was the only way I could deliver my drug tests to the territorial U.S.
Gotcha.
Yeah. How are we doing today?
We're doing good.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you're being a little mean to noted thespian. trying to think of what I could say there that would be insulting but inoffensive at the same time. Ezra Miller. Why are we talking about Ezra Miller again?
Because we're talking about essentially, you know, with glorious leader James Gunn's glorious 10-year plan. We're talking about the downfall of the DCEU.
Yeah. No, the DCEU, which has been good up until now, is going to suck now that James Gunn is in charge.
Yeah.
This was your idea, but it's my understanding that we are just going to kind of dish on DC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mostly the movies, but maybe not exclusively. I just sort of treat this as a spiritual sequel to, was it last year when we did The Eternals? I think the last half hour of the episode was just us looking at, like, the game plan for the next year. Where we're like, oh good, there's going to be, like, you know that, like, Spoonie Explains It All, like, kid show? They're going to do that, but with Groot. fucking, like, Shuri's getting her own show.
You're talking about Spoonie from Channel Awesome, right?
Yeah, Spoonie from Channel Awesome. No, not the Toy Story character. this is just sort of a State of the Union for DC. No, not Washington, D.C. State of the Union. DC Comics, a division of Warner Brothers, a division of the Discovery Channel, a division of the Shine Hard Wig Company. that's the main thing, right? Like, the Discovery-Warner Brothers merger is happening, so in, like, 3 months, the only really good streaming service is going to be just wall-to-wall, like, my, like, little person divorcee has a green thumb house flipper TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I'll just watch Japanese game shows from then on. Yeah. But it's DC. And what's the big C change? The DC change, as you alluded to before.
The big DC change, this all started out with the cancellation of the Batgirl movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which had Brendan Fraser as Firefly or Firebug, whatever.
I think his name is Firefly.
Yeah.
It is Firefly, right?
Yeah.
Like the same as the G.I. Joe or the Disgrace TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be pretty cool to see, but... and
you did?
Him.
Oh, okay.
Him.
just clarifying there. Yeah, I'm down for the... I don't like Darren Aronofsky because I'm not going to see the whale. The only whale I care about is named Piacon. But I'm down for a Fraser sans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't quite flow, does it? This makes it sound like I'm talking about Fraser.
Play the fiddle.
Okay. Or what is that, your three-word impression of Kelsey Grammer?
Yeah.
That's fine. There are people that I can just do, like, I can impersonate them doing a sound. But other than that, not really. Okay. So, yeah, they canceled the Batgirl movie.
Surprisingly enough, I thought there was going to be leaked footage, like a leaked version of this.
Uh-huh.
And I've been waiting for it for a while. Nothing.
Yeah, I guess the movie was complete, but they needed to do the special effects.
I think so.
The leaked footage would just be, like, that poor woman in a suit standing in, like, a green closet then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Not an insightful comment, perhaps, but I feel like when you would, like, leak footage of a movie in the 90s, there would be, like, oh, we already built the monster, and, like, here's what some of the sets would have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, that just means, like, well, here's the main character's costume. And then there's the parking lot in Atlanta where we were going to film the Daily Planet. Yeah. So, whatever. And the other thing that brought this on, not that it's new news, is that I did finally see Black Adam.
Mm-hmm.
An experience which is remarkably close to not seeing Black Adam. I don't think it deserves its own episode because it's, you know, it's pretty... Pretty past its sell-by date for that to be current. And also, it's says the guy who did an X-Men The Last Stand episode in 2020. But also, there is nothing there.
Yeah.
Truly. And as we go into this episode, I'm going to be really, like, mean and shitty and everything and make jokes. I will just say this right up front. I like the DC movies better than the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I also like them better than the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
If I have to have a comic book cinematic universe, which I don't, I can just go read Rogers Zelazny paperbacks instead. But if I have to pick one, then it's DC because you never know what you're going to get. And just very briefly, like I would say, genuinely liked Birds of Prey,
mm-hmm.
and not the way I like Mad Max or whatever.
Yeah.
I liked Birds of Prey. I liked The Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
The Suicide Squad V. I did enjoy Aquaman. Looking forward to the sequel there. And Snyder Cut and Dawn of Justice, Man of Steel, not so much.
Yeah.
The rest, I don't like as much. But even then, they're disasters.
Yeah.
Like, Suicide Squad 1, I can actually hate.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman 84 was such a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
To get that, like, during the pandemic, and you're like, oh, like, last movie we got was Cats. We'll never get another. Who knows if we'll ever even see a movie in a theater again,
mm-hmm.
let alone one that bad. And then it's like HBO Max showed up and went like, hey, I can get you like something that's 80% as bad as Cats. It will have a cat in it if you're down.
Yeah.
So like I've used this metaphor before. I won't run it into the ground. But like every Marvel movie is just like 5, 5, 5, 5. DC is just like 6, 7, 10, 1, 2.
Yeah.
Which makes me disappointed to say Black Adam is the most fucking 4 out of 10 movie I think I've ever... Like, I've seen worse movies. I've seen worse movies with The Rock in them.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen worse movies with The Rock as an ancient Mesopotamian god in them.
Yes.
So don't get me wrong here. It's just... It's nothing. It's one of those movies that feels like somebody telling you about a movie and then you deciding, I guess that saved me $7, or, what, 40 these days?
Yeah.
Much more interesting than the Black Adam the movie is the production. Do you know about how they got this thing made?
I know it took, like, 15 years or some crap like that.
That is what blows my mind, is that The Rock desperately wanted to play Black Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Adam is Dwayne Johnson's Deadpool.
Yeah.
And the difference is, you know my feelings on Deadpool. I'm very, very lukewarm. Don't hate, just very lukewarm on Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
You can at least say, like, oh, like Ryan Reynolds should play Deadpool. I'm like, you know what? Yes, he should.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a compliment or an insult, but what you just said is accurate. And the fact that when they made X-Men Origins Wolverine, like, I don't give a shit, but no, that's not Deadpool. If yeah. I were a Deadpool fan, I could see why you would be, like, gnawing on the back of the seat in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, and so for him to go, like, no, let's just do, like, a real version and it won't cost that much. And you watch those movies and you're like, yep, that's what Deadpool acts and looks like. Whatever yes. else I say, I won't take that yes. away from you. The difference is Deadpool is a fucking... Not even like a cult character. He's just like very popular, right?
Yeah.
No, Deadpool is popular the way that like Harley Quinn is popular, which is to say popular.
Yeah.
For some reason, they thought they could just will Black Adam into being like a character on the level of like Venom.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just do that. I don't know why some of these characters catch on.
Yeah.
But you can't just have that happen out of whole cloth. I guess what I'm saying is that you can't make a popular character out of clay, and you can't make a comic book superstar out of rock. It's all worth it for that. I'm going to shut up. We can regroup, but I'll tell you more about Black Adam in a moment.
The thing about Black Adam is that we have several members of the Justice Society. The thing I like is that the Justice Society are bad guys. Like, Black Adam is protecting his nation, and the Justice Society come in and are like, oh, you should be doing this, and the people are like, fuck you, this guy's actually protecting us.
Yeah. Did you notice we have a statue of him?
Yeah.
No, that's the thing that the movie is about, is that the JSA are essentially the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
and Rock, Black Adam, to the outside observer, can appear villainous, but he is, like, the appointed champion of the people,
mm-hmm.
by the people. So, yeah, the closest the movie comes to being interesting is when the first time they get their asses kicked and they're crawling out of the rubble, they're like, we were just trying to save you. And the archaeologist woman goes, from what? You're the bad guys. You're like, you caused this mess.
Yeah.
We didn't ask you to come here. And you're like, oh, okay. But that's the problem. You're like, oh, I get it. So the JSA is the UN, and Kandahar and Black Adam are every country that's not in the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done. Oh my God, there's 90 minutes left in this?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I hope you like that idea, because that's the only one you're going to be getting in this movie.
Exactly.
This is not a treasure house of story here. As far as the JSA members, by the way, again, like Cyclone, Atom Smasher, there's nothing there. It's just like the script that says, add actual joke here tomorrow, September 8th, 1997.
there's one thing I have to point out,
yeah.
and that's that Cyclone, the character that's the Red Tornado stand-in,
yes.
She was foster-cared by Ma Hunkle, who was the original Red Tornado, who wore oven mitts and long johns and a silver plate over her head like a four-bush man.
Is it like a pot or a pan or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking, why couldn't we have had that Red Tornado in the movie? Like, release the Hunkle cut, come on.
Yeah, and we're sitting here going like, well, like, we want a Ma Hunkle movie, and people go, okay, that's, like, fun, that's cute and, like, meme-ish. They're not going to make a Ma Hunkle movie. And I'm like, oh, no, you're right. They need to do serious intellectual properties. You know, like the Legion of Super Pets?
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, I want Ma Hunkle. This becomes a, like, a 3.5-star movie as soon as she's in it. As opposed to Cyclone, who's just nothing. Atom Smasher, who is, again, like the character who tells jokes. We don't have any jokes.
Yeah.
But he's the guy who does that on
yeah.
the team. Aldous Hodge as Hawkman, which the guy's not a bad actor. Mm-hmm. Like, he's good in other stuff. The Hawkman costume in this, like, watching somebody have to wear the Hawkman helmet and, like, look straight ahead at the camera at a couple points mm-hmm. was one of those, like, moments where I went, you know what, maybe comics do suck. Maybe, like, I say this as somebody, like, a lifelong reader, maybe comics are for gay losers and this shit sucks and there's no reason it should. Like, the X-Men were right to be ashamed of their comic book origins. Like, those first couple movies that the pedophile made.
Yeah.
Where they're just all dressed like bikers. People made fun of that at the time, where you're like, why are they all just in, like, boring... That's nothing. That's just, like, stupid-looking leather. Show them a picture of the Hawkman costume, and they'll be like, oh, no, I sincerely apologize for ever wanting the version of Colossus that wears stripper boots. So yeah, the Black Adam movie, the only thing that redeems it even a little is Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate, and even then they don't let him do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like a fucking moron whenever he's in the costume, because
yeah.
When he's in the costume, it's 100% CGI.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why the rest of the movie, Brosnan's contract was like, he doesn't have to stand up, and he gets to just dress nicely. Yeah.
Yeah, there are a handful of comic book characters who kind of look better in their civilian uniforms than they do as their characters, like
yeah.
Deathstroke, Etrigan. Like, when Etrigan is Jason Blood, he looks like a badass.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Etrigan does look cool, though,
too. Yeah.
So anyways, the Black Adam movie, again, like, the most fascinating part is just how it gets made, which, as I said, The Rock was... gung-ho about making this. And apparently it was because 15 fucking years ago, like, they were trying to make a Shazam movie as a follow-up to Superman Returns, like the Brandon Routh
yeah.
Superman. They approached The Rock. Makes sense. He's a movie star. He's arguably, like, as big then as he's going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
They offered him the role of Shazam. I don't know. Maybe he'd be a good Shazam if they went in a different direction with the character. I don't really care about Shazam. I'm not a Shazam purist.
Yeah.
But he read it, and apparently Black Adam was a supporting character in the comics. He's a villain in the comics, but he was like a supporting character in the script.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, I kind of like this Black Adam guy. For no clear reason. Like, what if there was a superhero that killed? And you're like, yeah, it's what superheroes do. They kill people all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's not weird.
Have you anymore. Seen a Batman movie?
Yeah, that's not remotely weird anymore. Sometimes it's cool, usually it's boring. That's because the stories are boring.
Mm-hmm.
People have pointed that out, that, like, the handful of, like, nobody gets hurt, we save everybody kind of hero.
Yeah.
That's cool, but that's like Vash the Stampede or something. Like, that is now the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he decided he liked Black Adam more, and they were like, well, okay, I guess The Rock could play the villain in the movie. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger played Mr. Freeze. Like,
yeah.
It's not uncommon for the Batman movies to, like, the villains are the main draw and the bigger stars.
That's what they were on the show.
Yeah.
The 60s show.
That too, actually. Maybe that was the logic behind it, but then because The Rock is suddenly in it, they were like, The Rock needs to headline this. Let's make Black Adam its own feature. So they then split the Shazam movie into two.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to do a Shazam movie and a Black Adam movie, which, in fairness, 15 years later, they now have. There has to be a point where you realize you were just burning money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a point beyond which, like, when you keep doubling down on your NFT purchases, like, eventually, it's always your fault, but, like, you lose sympathy for that pretty quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened here. This is the NFT purchase of movies, where it's like, okay, guys, it took us a decade and a half, but we're finally where we need to be. We spent $400 million making a movie about the sixth most famous villain, of the eighth most famous knockoff to Superman, who for some reason we are not making movies about anymore.
Yeah.
By the time this stage of the DCEU ends, we will have had as many Shazam movies as Superman movies.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the whole blackout, this is the only thing anybody remembers from the movie. It ends with Amanda Waller sending Superman after him.
Yeah.
It's like, next time, Black Adam versus Superman. That is as pathetic as the Super Mario Brothers ending.
Mm-hmm.
Where she shows up in battle gear and Bob Hoskins goes, at this point, I'm ready to believe anything. Like, that is 100% as embarrassing and doomed as the Super Mario Brothers movie.
It couldn't have been Shazam coming down and
would have made slightly more sense. Anyways, I still think your idea was better, that at the end of the movie, instead of the JSA, Ma Hunkle should have appeared, and like the demon Sabacc appears in a temple, but she charges him like rent and then hits him with a rolling pin. Yeah. Sends him back to the seven hells. That is okay. So that's the capsule review of Black Adam.
Yeah.
But this is just to set the stage for what is coming up.
We have, in a few months, even though it's gotten no real fanfare, Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
Yeah.
In which he fights the Daughters of Atlas, played by Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren.
Oh, is that something I would know from the books or no?
Nah.
Atlas has daughters?
Does he?
I don't know. Oh, the Titans. I know more about the Olympians than the Titans. Look, I don't think Shazam is too worried about fidelity here anyways. This is the Iliad. Why do they keep making Shazam movies?
Because they're the ones that people actually see.
Not really. Like the
kind of.
The first Shazam movie didn't lose money, but if you look at like the box office, that's the first one where it's like, oh, that didn't do as well as we'd like. You know, I tell a lie. That was actually Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League made a lot of money, but it was one of those movies that cost like $1 billion with marketing. You know? It is surprisingly easy to like look at the chart and you're like, oh, like Superman, Man of Steel did very good business. Dawn of Justice was very successful. Nothing on the level of like Black Panther or Iron Man 3, maybe,
yeah.
But like highly successful, profitable movies. Justice League is the turning point where after that, except for the first Aquaman, every movie is like, ooh, like Birds of Prey didn't do what we had hoped. Like, mm-hmm. That Suicide Squad movie, like I liked it, but that didn't put any butts in the seats. I don't know. I don't like Shazam.
And I find it weird that I love Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu, but they had such a great setup at the end of the first Shazam. You know, you have Mr. Mind coming to Dr. Savannah's cell, like, mm-hmm. I name the gods, not the other way around. And it's just such a neat, like, oh, like, the greatest mind in the world and the greatest mind in the galaxy,
yeah,
team up. You could have, like, Mark Strong as, like, the classic Savannah with, like, the lab coat and everything. You could do so much with it. You could have, like, Mr. Mime become his pupa in larva form. Like, you could just do so much with it, and it's just like, nah.
Yeah, and it really, and this is the problem with a lot of these movies, is that unless you are Batman or Spidey, most of these guys don't have a deep bench of rogues. So it's fine when you're like, okay, well, this movie will have some, like, second stringer. Next movie, you're getting Joker or Lex Luthor or Mr. Mind.
Yeah.
Or Carnage or whoever. Yeah. Like, I get why that's become the thing. Like, we're saving the real bad guy for the next movie.
Mm-hmm. But just make sure that your first bad guy has a little oomph.
Has anything to the point where people would see the second movie. It's hilarious because then you either get a second movie with, like, the one villain.
Mm-hmm.
You either the first movie fails and you never even get to the second villain that you should have just started with, or B, the second movie succeeds and you have nothing to do for the third one. So, like, if they make, like a Venom 3, who does Venom fight now? Name me another Venom bad guy.
I always thought it would be neat. It would be an interesting Sony Spider-Verse movie if Spider-Man got kidnapped or something by, like, somebody, just somebody huge, and he basically his amazing friends like Deathlok, Cloak and Dagger, Firestar, if they had to all team up to get him, like, I think that would be a pretty good movie.
Dude, by the way, this is another episode, but one day we can talk about, like, the Sony Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
They are tap dancing on a lake of ice right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, like, we did Venom. Everybody liked Venom, or, you know, at least it made money. We did Spider-Verse. Everybody liked that because it's probably the closest to what people actually want out of a Spidey movie.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, let's see how far we can go with this. It's like, do you remember what happened with Morbius?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be that or worse.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make this Kraven movie. And then they're going to have some hard choices to make because they're going to have to sit down and say, like, you know how Morbius didn't do very well? Are we throwing good money after bad if we make a Silver Sable movie? Or a Madam Web movie? Or a Crusher Hogan movie? That is even more than, like, say what you will about DC. They do have, like, a stable of characters.
Mm-hmm.
This Spider-Man thing of, like, okay, well, we can't use Spidey or anybody he might actually fight. But maybe we could do, like, a gang war movie where it's just about Hammerhead and Silvermane and no one else appears. Wow. Start lighting those cigars with bald eagle eggs now, because I don't see any way this could fail. So yeah, Shazam 2, I don't know. Of every movie that's come out, why is there a Shazam 2? Why did we get a Shazam 2 before we got an Aquaman 2?
I don't know.
It's been longer and it's a better movie. And when I say I don't like Shazam, I'm not being pissy about that. I kind of see the charm in the comic book character.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Superman knockoff who then, for a while, was more popular than Superman.
Yeah.
And I sort of get why they have him around now. Like, they don't do the stupid 1950s Superman where, like, some ugly asshole plays a prank on him and he goes, like, oh, like, due to U.S. copyright law, I can't protect a bank from being robbed.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I turned into a werewolf.
Yeah.
Like, every Superman comic between the end of World War II and the beginning of the Gulf War.
Yeah.
I get how now Superman has to be, like, normal Superman, Grant Morrison Superman, I'm going to fight Doomsday Superman. They can't do the old, like, oh, I lost my memory, so now I'm going to marry my mom Superman.
Yeah.
Like, with Shazam, you can. Mr. Mind would seem like kind of a stupid villain for modern-day Superman to fight.
Yeah.
It makes sense with, like, Shazam. Shazam can be friends with a talking tiger.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's what Shazam is supposed to be. He's meant to be that kind of fun corner of...
Yeah.
You can do those, like, Superman stories where he died every three issues.
Mm-hmm.
I get why the character exists. He also has a better costume than Superman, quite frankly. In terms of the movies, though, there is not much there. And just watching, is it the guy from Chuck? Just going like, I guess I have electric hands. I guess my superhero name will be Captain Electric Hands.
Yeah.
Wow. We have two, technically three movies. Technically three Shazam movies. if you want to count Black Adam. By the way, that's another thing. There are some things that translate to movies and they're cool. I hate to say it, The Punisher is kind of cool in a movie.
Yeah.
The Punisher skull, like, it looks ridiculous now because of culture, but, like, that translates filmically. Okay. Yeah. Daredevil beating up some ninjas in a staircase, that looks pretty cool. Looks even cooler when he's not dressed as Daredevil. Then the list of things that don't, I mentioned the Hawkman outfit.
Yeah.
Another thing that does not carry the weight it should is when they say Shazam. When it's like an all is lost moment and there's black ash floating in the air and The Rock can barely bring himself to do it, but then finally he's like, I must Shazam! Oh, like Gomer Pyle? Yeah.
Jim Neighbors, what the hell?
It does not fucking work. This is such a deep cut. They did terrible comic identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That thing that's as responsible for the fall of DC and Warner Brothers as any other single thing.
Yeah.
That god-awful comic. There's a scene where, like, after Sue Dibney gets raped and, like, Batman finds out and they have to stop Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the beginning of every issue, they would have little quotes, like they're The Wire or something.
Yeah.
The difference is when The Wire does that, The Wire is already up its own ass doing that. But at least the lines are good when it's like, it's a dirty game. You got to play dirty to win it. You're like, oh, okay, okay. Wants me to give him shit and tell him it's soap. Oh, it's a little McNulty. You're like, oh, okay, no, that works. That's like...
Mm-hmm.
They would do that, but the quotes would be like, Shazam! And when they're fighting Batman, it's Zatanna's stupid magic where she talks backwards.
Yeah.
So the quote at the beginning of the issue is, Potts Mantav. Like, Batman, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Potts Mantav.
Girl, Potts Mantav.
Yeah, doesn't really...
lives down the creek.
Potts Mantav. Potts Mantav. I don't know. I guess as far as, like, weighty epigrams, it doesn't quite land the same way as, like, Lay on Macduff or Dragons Are Too Seldom.
I think the problem with Zatanna and her father Zatara is that it's very 1940s logic of, like, if I say something backwards, my magic will work.
Yeah.
Like, it would have worked so much better if it was just, like, Latin or something.
Yeah, which they probably what it is now. Or they probably did that, and then fans got mad, so they changed it back or something. Yeah. By the way, both her and her dad, what's her dad? Zatara?
Yeah. Giovanni Zatara.
Yeah. I like them, by the way.
Yeah.
They're the kind of characters, like, Zatanna's, like, sexy without being, like, overdoing it, you know, where it's like Paul Dini keeps the drawings afterwards. Mm. Kind of sexy. They're fun characters. It was fun when they were in the Batman cartoon.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have their own book, but like it's really fun that there's like a hot stage magician who can then do magic. I'm down for that.
And her dad, who's a cooler version of Mandrake.
Yeah, just this like kind of dude who's over it and has a mustache, like, what if David Niven was a magician who didn't want you to talk to him? Like, I'm down for that. Again, though, like, in the comic, it looks stupid in the comic, but there's at least the fun of, like, reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're 12, like you're supposed to be when you read it. How would that ever work in a movie? I'm getting mad at something that doesn't exist. They haven't done Zatanna yet.
Mm-hmm.
That surely cannot work.
They plan on it.
That no, you cannot have like Mazikeen and Azazel like crawl out of a hole in the earth, and then Zatanna goes like, wait, guys, I'll take it from here. Is it worth it? Let me work. Put my thing down, flip it in river.
Yeah.
No, I take it back. That was a rule. I would like these movies again if they did that.
They want to do a Zatanna movie, but
they want to do everything.
They want to do, Bundy and I want to do a lot of shit.
Yeah, get to that when you're done with Blue Devil. Jesus Christ.
And
it's like audiences have just turned their backs on Crazy Quilt and Psycho Pirate. You're telling me that in this great country of ours, there are not enough people to make a Gorilla Boss of Gotham City movie profitable? I ask you. Okay, moving on. I have nothing to say. This Shazam Fury of the Gods is going to come out, and it's going to make a little money, but it won't be as successful as the first one.
Now, this next one it will be a disaster. I was telling Nathaniel the other day, this will be like Cats, but without the fun.
No, this, which is to say, this will be like Wonder Woman 84 without the fun.
Yeah, The Flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked about this before, so I feel like I don't need to reiterate my entire point. The Flash is a TV character.
Yeah.
The Flash is a B-list DC character. That is fine. The B-list is still pretty high up the alphabet.
Yeah.
Like, Daredevil's a B-list Marvel character. Daredevil's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Okay, The Flash, you just have to acknowledge that, like, Batman and Superman and apparently Wonder Woman, apparently Aquaman,
yeah,
can, like, draw huge audiences. Maybe Flash and Green Lantern and Martian Manhunter should have TV shows and spinoffs and things like that.
Yeah.
I know this because they did 14 seasons of a Flash show that everyone really liked.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they were committed, like, nope, he's on the poster. He is technically the first Silver Age hero. Or at least had the first supervillains. So it's like, we're gonna do The Flash. Follow-up, he will be played by a non-binary domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
Follow-up, this will cost more than the GDP of Ireland. I don't... There's the phrase, like, heads will roll.
Yeah.
After the Flash movie comes out, this is going to be the reign of terror.
Yes. There's no way to salvage this outside of just deep faking Ezra Miller's face out and putting Grant Gustin's in.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you there. Like, I don't think anybody's... Well, I say that, but there's people who are like, no, like, I know they're a horrible human being, but they were also the worst thing about the Snyder Cut, so... Therefore, like, I would literally die for them. I would lie down in front of, like, a tank for them. So, whatever, I'm sure they have fans. I get what you mean. It's not just replacing Grant Gustin. Or just replacing Ezra Miller, Grant Gustin. If this starred anybody, this movie is still going to be a disaster. Like, I don't know how to put that. Like, it wouldn't have been this amount of a disaster without Ezra Miller.
Mm-hmm.
But at this late date, if you just did, like, an all the money in the world and reshot every scene with them,
yeah,
this is not going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
This was not, like, a good project that was dragged down by this one unfortunate element that came to light. Like, this ground, from the ground up, this sounds like a bad premise to do a movie on. A reboot movie for a character who hasn't had a movie yet.
And also, if this is made and you go in, you're going to have to see the credit, screenplay, adapted screenplay by Ethan Van Sciver.
Oh, but they did that. Since it's based on
Flashpoint.
Yeah, but his putrid name is on all of these, so I know what you mean. It's not cool, but you just kind of got to take your lumps there. I swear to God, if I will have egg on my face in a couple months if I am wrong, I am predicting The Flash will be at least as much of a fiasco for them as the Joss Whedon Justice League was.
Mm-hmm.
Which is impressive because they found somebody who's apparently a bigger scumbag than Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say about this. You could do like a cool movie about how The Flash got his powers and then fought his handful of actually kind of fun, cool villains.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mirror Master and Gorilla Grodd. Skipping all of that.
Yeah.
We are just going straight to the reboot of the character that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
We filmed all these cameos who will now not be appearing in the movie.
Yeah.
Current production, somewhere around $400 million in real money. $300 reported, which means it's at least half again that much.
Because with reshoots, reshoots for a normal movie, it's like, yeah, the sound wasn't good, or we want another angle for this shot. Like, that's a normal reshoot.
Yeah.
This whole shit of, like, we're adding another storyline is like, no.
Yeah, by the way, the number of people who lost their minds over, like, the Snyder Cut, not the Snyder fans, but the people who were like, yeah, they gave him an extra $70 million to make this movie. Like, so it's like nothing.
Yeah.
That's the catering budget on one of these movies. Like,
yeah.
$70 million isn't that much. Like, so not only did they already make the movie, $70, and I made this joke before, like, $70 million they spent on the Zack Snyder Justice League. Pretty good movie, by the way.
Yeah.
$70 million. They were not going to give 70 film students $1 million to make their dream project. Like, you do understand that.
This isn't like that scene in Close Enough where God comes down and gets schooled by the little girl or whatever.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, actually it helps out tentpole movies. No, it doesn't. That is not how movies work.
No. The $70 million that they gave to Snyder to finish his movie, I'm not joking, that would have paid for a third of a Kanjar Row movie that never comes out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where you think they were going to spend this. Oh no, if they hadn't given him the $70 million, then all your favorite Cartoon Network shows from 2003 would still be on HBO Max. It's a one-to-one translation. No, but reshoots are normal. The reshoots on the Justice League were normal. The reshoots on, like, the Lord of the Rings were normal. Didn't hurt those movies. The Flash has already burned through more reshoot money than the Snyder Cut has. I don't care what anybody else
says. It's got through more than Solo.
Yeah. Dude,
Solo, a movie made twice.
No, that is what this is. It is one of those movies, like Solo, like Justice League, where they just made the movie twice.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come out, it'll make like $400 million.
Yeah.
And that will cover the advertising budgets.
Yeah.
And they will lose more money on this. And I think they know that, by the way. I think that's why they're just like, you're going to fucking therapy and you're going to the premiere. And after that, I don't care if you end up in a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
That's so clearly how they're approaching Ezra Miller, because it's just like watching your tentpole $300 million film that was meant to relaunch the whole universe, too.
Yeah.
And you pinned that to Ezra Miller. That is like if you realized you had just given your power of attorney to My Pet Monster.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to, you got the next two chronologically flipped.
Oh, yes.
The next movie coming out after The Flash is a Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
I joke, of course. That's not coming out.
Coming on to HBO Max,
probably. Yeah.
And he's, his adventures take place in El Paso. And I don't think they're going to film any scenes in El Paso. Because it's like, it's too small of a town for there to be like real action scenes in my mind.
That's the weird thing. El Paso is a pretty decently sized city, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like San Diego or anything. Like, El Paso is bigger geographically and population than, I think, like Boston or somewhere, than a lot of places. El Paso's like big city size, small town vibe,
mm-hmm.
which I know is appealing to a lot of people. I don't know if they'll film it here or not. This movie's not coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Like, I take that back. It will come out on HBO Max, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
They had prepared it as an HBO Max movie. Then apparently things were going so well, they took a look at it and went, oh, we could release this. Like, we could get this in an actual theater. I will bet cash money they don't. I will bet that, like, the fucking Flash tanks. And then they go, actually, Blue Beetles is going straight to HBO Max. They're not going to Batgirl it, but this is not a movie that is going to, like, drag strangers in.
Yeah. I don't think they can afford to Batgirl another movie.
Maybe not. They can't afford anything. Did you see last year they had... they just barely had enough money to put out two movies at the end of last year. There was a point where they were like, we might only be able to afford to promote one or the other of these. They managed to do both. The two movies were Black Adam and Don't Worry, Darling.
Wow.
But I don't think Don't Worry, Darling was like a money furnace the way these things are. I don't think it was like a fiasco, but... I mean, certainly not like a critical success or anything.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's not really within the like the kind of mandate for this show, but Don't Worry, Darling is a fun watch.
You're being punished for failing to accept.
Okay, I'm going to talk about it because this is like the only time it'll probably ever even come up. Not the worst movie ever. Not even like a bad movie. If I watched it on a plane or something, I wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. But it is such a two-star ass movie.
Yeah.
I guess I should start talking about like Letterboxd. That goes up to 5 stars, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Don't Worry, Darling. The movie, much like Black Adam, the movie is nowhere near as interesting as the production saga leading up to it.
Yeah.
I remember the one person on Twitter who said that... Don't Worry, Darling is what happens when a white woman twice tries to make a Jordan Peele movie. Harsh, but insanely accurate. And I, by the way, I like Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Think she's cool. Cheekbones to die for. I liked Booksmart well enough, I guess.
Mm.
Little cringy, but like very earnest, very sweet movie.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely funny in some places. This ain't it. The stuff that stuck out to me most, you have Chris Pine sleepwalking through like a male, what were they called, like advisor?
Yeah.
The guru is like a Jordan Peterson type. You have him acting like this kind of swaggering, like 1950s, 1960s alpha. He literally did that better on American Dad. That Twilight Zone episode where he's like the demon that lives in the TV,
mm-hmm.
and like acts like Rod Serling. That's Chris Pine. He just did it better there as like a kind of smoky, like Don Draper asshole. He was better there than he is in this because the writing's better on American Dad. Yeah, you have, what's his face? The singer?
Harry Styles.
Yeah, Harry Styles is in there as Florence Pugh's husband. He was sleeping with Olivia Wilde, so that's why he's in the movie. can kind of see why there was like some tension on the set because of this. Like, hey guys, my new dog I just bought is going to be the new star of the movie. That's worse than like, well, Mr. Wood, my nephew wants to be in pictures. You got to write him as the main character.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's in there. It's like he's like, you have been punished for your freewheeling days of excess. Like, I don't mind her husband being like, to quote Paul F. Tompkins, inexplicably British.
Yeah.
But he plays it as like, oh, come on, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean for you to get arrested by the FOP police. Come on, blimey, this is our dream life, right? What, isn't it?
It's not even like a... He doesn't even play in like a post-war Brit or something.
No, he's just flat and mumbling. Like, I got nothing against the kid. He's not an actor.
Yeah.
If he was good at Dunkirk, it's because he just blended in with the other 800 guys that look like him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Florence Pugh, who is an actor. She is a good-ass actor. She is the real deal. If the movie works, it's because of her. But, like, you put her in a scene with Harry Styles, and it's just, like, his hair getting blown backwards by the force of the acting talent. And the one scene that makes the whole thing worth it for me, I'm sorry to go off on such a long tangent, but, like, I have to get this out there. Florence Pugh is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked her and everything. She's about 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like, she is a shrimp. And that's one reason I like her. One of the only halfway decent parts of the movie, he's in it for like 3 minutes. He doesn't get to do anything. But Jonah from Veep plays a shitty doctor who, like, over-medicates all the women.
Mm-hmm.
And is, like, the secret Mangala who's behind, like, the little town.
Yeah.
He does a perfectly good job. Worth noting, like, you know, like, Marley was dead to begin with. You must remember this, or nothing that follows seems wonderful.
Yeah.
Just bear in mind, Florence Pugh, 4'1". Guy who plays Jonah, 7'9", okay?
Yeah.
Because it is set in a mid-60s architecture suburb, Florence Pugh has a sunken living room. Nice plush carpet, and then it dips down a couple steps into the lounge area.
Yeah.
There is a scene where the doctor leaves for a minute. She dashes over and goes in his briefcase to steal some secret files to figure out what's going on. He turns around at the last minute, and it's like the perfect, like, she just finished, smile on her face. She goes, "You forgot your briefcase," and hands it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
She's standing in the pit. He's standing above. She has to hand him the briefcase. There is like
Gandalf.
No, it is absolutely just the most, like, the first 20 minutes of the Fellowship of the Ring. Like, there is, when she has to, only the difference is, like, he's standing in a pit because Ian Holm is, like, he's not huge, but clears 5 feet. And also, Ian McKellen isn't as tall as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in real life, the way Jonah is. When she has to hand him the briefcase, sincerely, that thing has to clear about 14 feet of dead air to change hands.
Yeah.
It is fucking... Oh, God. It is such a riot, and you're right. He needs to just, like, well, thank you very much for my briefcase. Heading out the door. That scene alone, I was like, you... This took it's a movie. It took a day to film that scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's what movies are.
Yeah.
Nobody saw this and went, like, you know, if she were at the entryway and he were in the sunken living room, they would actually be within 3 feet of eye level with each other.
Yeah.
That alone is worth watching that movie for. Other than that, Blue Beetle, as I was
saying. Blue Beetle, yeah.
Nothing to say about Blue Beetle. The character is fine. I think it's fun that they send him in El Paso. That's more fun than having him live in, like, Brooklyn or something for the millionth time. I like Blue Beetle, okay? I've met the guy who writes Blue Beetle. He got his autograph. He's a nice guy. This is not... If you're looking for the thing that's going to, like, turn the ship around, it's not going to be Blue Beetle. I bet this thing is going to HBO Max.
Yeah.
And then lastly... The last of the current era of DCEEEEU movies. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to rule.
It's going to rule.
Yeah. What are you thinking of Aquaman?
I'm thinking it's going to be great. I don't know what accent Amber Heard is going to use for this one. Since... That's one of her powers, to go from accent to accent. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know who the villain's going to be. Is it going to be Black Manta?
That's the thing. I think both Ocean Master and Black Manta are coming back. I don't know if Ocean Master is a good guy this time. I did like that first Aquaman movie a lot. I will say again, couldn't name you a ton of Aquaman villains. So, I liked the first Aquaman movie well enough. I probably liked it more than I should have. Like, I bet it's just, like, a pretty good movie, but just by basis of comparison.
Yeah.
I'm like, Yes, this is better than Captain America: Civil War. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, yes, this is better than Ant-Man and the Wasp. I was just like, the ocean looks pretty. Tamara Morrison, I mean. A lot of vowels to keep track of. They managed to make the ocean look pretty. It had sharks with freaking laser beams.
Julie Andrews plays a fucking Kraken.
Yeah, it is.
There's a drumming octopus. Are you kidding? Dolph Lundgren.
He's underwater. He's Dolph Lundgren.
In his natural habitat.
Yes, exactly. I often point to that. Like, the problem with these movies is that they're trying to be something. Mm-hmm. Like, Black Adam feels like a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox of a Snyder movie. Shazam feels like a copy of a copy of a copy of a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Aquaman is the movie that knows exactly what it is. Yeah. It's like Flintstones ass undersea creatures. And like, if it could be like, and now we will coronate Prince Adam of Atlantis. The entertainment for this evening, Jabberjaw, and like you cut to him and his band playing. Like, yeah. Of course, where else is he going to live? So we have a lot of fun with that. I think Aquaman will come out. I don't know if it'll be as successful as the first one. That was like a real sort of out of nowhere, like things lined up movie. You know, good and right time of year. And what else opened that day? Like Holmes and Watson.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee this will be another $1 billion movie, but if it's more successful than the first Aquaman movie, that will make it the most successful DC movie of any description, period. The main thing, though, is that they're going to release 4 movies this year, is what they're claiming. Do you call shenanigans on that?
What do you mean?
They currently plan to release 4 movies this year. It's like
they're not going to do that.
No, exactly. Even if it was like spring, summer, winter, and fall, which is fall and winter. Sorry, I was quoting the Archies there for a minute. No, even if you space them out like that, I don't think it's going to happen. Fucking Marvel, like the MCU engine, they only released 4 movies in a year once. And that's because they had Black Adam and Shang-Chi, like, laying around because of COVID.
Yeah.
That was, it was like 2021, it was the only time it was like, let's just put out one of these every 6 weeks, and like people will show up. Up until now, the entire decade that this has been going on, DC has released at most 2 movies a year. Usually it's 1. A couple years it's been 0. Unless they are really trying to like when a TV show has to just like burn off all of its episodes before the end of the season when it gets canceled. If it's that is the only way they're getting through this. Otherwise, and that's another reason I think Blue Beetle is going to be like a web extra, basically. Because if you're going to cut any of these, it's going to be Blue Beetle, right? Yeah. What comes after that, though? By the way, you know why they pushed Aquaman back.
Why?
It's Avatar.
Yeah.
You can't have it go up against... You don't have anything go up against Avatar, but especially not Aquaman. You can't have 2 wet movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one is Joker for Ye Adieu. Yeah.
Well, just to put a pin in this for a moment, we're going from, like, the movies that are actually coming out to the... God, I hate to even say this, but these are just DC movies as opposed to, like, the DC...
Yeah.
The connected DC universe, which has to be a thing. God forbid you just, like, make a Superman movie and people like it. And when has that ever worked?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so we're sort of drawing the distinction between these things that are off in their own little circles, or as I like to call them, good movies, and then the DCEU, or as I like to call it, the Titanic. So yeah, Joker 2.
Which... as Harley Quinn is going to be played by Lady Gaga. I'm sorry, Lady Gaga. What's next? Lord Goo Goo.
Honestly, if they hadn't already given him the name The Joker, that character could be called Lord Gogo. Yeah. Like, it kind of suits him, right? Yeah. He has a cane and everything. Yeah. I'm looking forward. That's not coming out for like another 2 years. For movies where it's just like one guy hanging out in New York, these seem to take forever to make.
And it's a musical, so it's just going to be two psychos singing, which is kind of a neat idea.
Yeah. I liked the first Joker. I get there's some eye-rolly stuff about it. It is like a cover song of a better movie with like King of Comedy. I liked it. I think Joaquin's amazing. He might be out of his mind, but I do think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
We've talked about this a little bit before. I feel like the Joker is one of like maybe four characters from comics.
Yeah.
Where the whole like it's modern mythology. Mm-hmm. That like I've always hated that. The Joker is one of like him, Superman, and the Hulk, maybe, are the only ones where I'm like, this does genuinely seem to exist beyond like the sphere. Like there's a guy in a like a foreign country who doesn't know what Batman is, but has a Joker shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, the character has reached that cultural level of cultural pervasiveness where he's like Von Bode graffiti at this point. It's a thing that escaped into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, I'm cool with this. I liked him last time. Is it going to be a musical?
Yeah.
Cool. Do that. Like, what do I... Oh, no, dude. Make a movie where he's a gangster and kills some other criminals and has a really sick sense of humor. I've seen that. I don't need that. You know what I haven't seen? Joker musical with Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Like, do that shit. I'm down for it.
Next is The Batman 2. I don't know what serious take they're gonna put on any of the other characters. I remember you told me like what they could have done with different characters, like
just not laying down the law. Like, here's how I feel. They must do Hugo Strange justice. Yeah. Not in that sense, but I've just had friends who are like, oh, they could do like Clayface, where he's like the kind of theater of blood Clayface, as opposed to the shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Or the even weirder third and fourth and fifth versions of the character.
Yeah.
You could do that. You could do like the shitty new characters that like Grant Morrison, the CIA guy, came up with. Honestly, I'm not counting the days till Batman 2, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. And I'm not counting the days if they're going to have Joker in it. Their version of Joker. Yeah.
If there is one thing I don't want to be in the movie, it is the Barry Keoghan, like, oh, this looks like I chose the wrong party to crash, Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just that to me was like the cul-de-sac. That was I'm glad they cut it out of the movie, but if you've seen that cutscene,
yeah,
that was the bit where I watched that and went like, oh, I guess we have to turn back. Like, the pier only goes out so far. This is as far into the Atlantic Ocean as the United States extends. We got a Forrest Gump, but turn around and run the other way now.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot go any further down the, like, what if Joker was deformed and boring?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, I'm fine with the Joaquin one. Don't have Joker fight Batman for 10 years.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, Godzilla goes 10 years as a stretch without fighting Mechagodzilla sometime. No, but Batman has tons of villains. Not sure why they burned through, like, 12 of them in the first movie. But I didn't like The Batman as much as I would like to have liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate it. If the sequel's better, I'm like, I didn't like Batman Begins either, and I like The Dark Knight, so I'm not washing my hands of it. I'm just saying, like, at this point, that's kind of like, I'm not even going to say when I was a little kid, but at stages of my life where I was like, Tom Hardy is playing Bane in the sequel to The Dark Knight. Like, I don't have that level of excitement for, like, oh, they're going to put Two-Face in this in the next one. Oh, good news, everybody. The Mad Hatter is going to be in, well, actually, I would see that.
Yeah.
Batman, too. They're going to do whatever. They're, maybe it'll be under 4 hours long and have a single-digit number of plot lines running at once. Or maybe he'll fight, like, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I don't know. Tweedledee, Tweedle-fucking-dum, Tweedle-baba-booey, Tweedle-nutsack. What am I doing over here? After that,
there was the Wonder Woman 3 script that was that was immediately turned down. The untitled James Gunn Superman film, where it's his early years, and like, I'm just thinking, I love James Gunn. Don't. Just don't. We've seen enough Superman. We've seen, you know, we've seen Smallville. Like, people
speak loved, for yourself. I haven't seen Smallville.
People loved Smallville, and that whole thing was Superman's teenage years when he was starting out.
Yeah. I was gonna make a like a joke here. I was gonna do a bit where I'm like I want to see a Superman origin movie. I don't know where the character came from. What's his deal? They've never covered it in the last 100 years. But you get the bit. Yeah, I don't know. Nobody remembers or cares about Smallville. They did that. That show had like 300 episodes or something.
Yeah.
So it's one of those shows. Like, I go like, oh yeah, they did like a mini series about Superman growing up in Kansas. And I'm like, nope, 12 seasons.
Yeah.
Longer than Supernatural.
Yeah.
I do not know. I mean, I don't need to know any superheroes' origin story. Even the ones I don't know, I don't need to know them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the paradox with like doing, like we're going back to basics, we're making a Superman movie. On the one hand, like, of course you want to do a Superman movie. When they're out there making Blue Beetle and Shazam, the suits understandably go, we own Superman, right? Why are we not making Superman and Batman movies?
Yeah.
The thing is, whenever they make a Superman movie, it sucks. Charitably, when was the last good Superman movie? 1982? you even had a good actor for the role. Like, Henry Cavill makes a good Superman.
Yeah.
He just didn't do anything with it. So, I don't know. It'll be a movie about him growing up, and then second movie, he'll meet Lex Luthor, hopefully not played by a pedophile this time. It just feels like, I'm not trying to sound so like too cool for school, but the same way I'm like, I don't need to see like the Joker menacing Gotham City in like a movie at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to see Superman's fucking rocket crashing down to Earth again until I'm 70. but whatever.
There's something that they're planning is a Superman reboot by Ta-Nehisi Coates, where he's black.
Okay.
Like that's an idea they've been cooking up for a while.
Yeah, which had been floating around. Wasn't there a like a comic where they go with black Superman?
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's probably like a really misguided one from the 50s where they did that.
Yeah.
But what I mean is like, forgive me if I'm like getting my wires crossed. Either Ta-Nehisi Coates or a Ta-Nehisi Coates like author did an essentially like What If Obama Was Superman kind of comic within the last 10 years or so. Yeah, do it. I've got nothing against this on principle. I don't care if somebody who doesn't look like me plays a character I don't care about. Or even one I do.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot stress enough, like, I have no bones with this on principle. Do you think this is actually going to happen, though?
No.
Like, I feel like it maybe could have happened. I think that while Superman was just kind of sitting there and they weren't putting him in movies and like Cavill might have come back, I could see where they might have fucked off and done an African-American Superman the same way they did like an out-of-continuity Joker where he's just, you know, his own little thing. I cannot see them like putting out a super, like, finally a new real Superman movie starring like the last son of Krypton doing stuff. We're relaunching the Superman franchise. I cannot picture them doing that and then within the same calendar year doing an Elseworlds Superman story.
Yeah.
For that reason alone, I'm like, this sounds like one of those ideas that's not actually going to happen. So maybe I'm wrong. What else we got that is theoretically
I mentioned the Zatanna movie, which ain't happening.
I don't think that's happening.
And there have been reports flying around about a Supergirl movie.
No, there's been reports flying around that Supergirl was flying around.
Yeah.
Easy mistake.
Don't know why we need a movie. We had a very long-running show.
Yeah, also, we already have the perfect Supergirl movie.
What?
Supergirl.
Yeah.
Where she fights two witches.
Yeah.
By the way, that's what these movies need to be. This is why I have a soft spot for Wonder Woman 84.
Like the Ilya Salakine kind of...
Yes. That's what I loved about Wonder Woman 84, and I'm not saying it's a misjudged masterpiece. It's a bad movie starring a woman who can't act. But to be clear, it feels like it was made in 1984.
Yeah.
Because it's just somebody who doesn't understand or like the character... went ahead, a character who's not that great, by the way, went ahead and made a movie and we're like, huh, what can Wonder Woman fight? How about another lady? Oh, that's not going to fill out a whole movie, though. What if she fights, like, an evil genie? And that's what Supergirl feels like. Like, does Supergirl have any villains? No, but we can make up, like, a couple of witches for her to fight. There's just, like, fucking, like, witches. Like, Yahaha and, like, brooms and fucking cats and everything. We'll dress it up a little bit, but yes, essentially. That's what movies should be. I don't
want to... I would have loved if there was a scene in Supergirl where he fought Uncle Arthur from Bewitched.
Absolutely. Yes, perfect. You do not need... Here's what I want. I don't want a Superman movie where, like, General Zod gets a hold of Kryptonian technology and implants Brainiac into, like, the supercomputers of Earth and threatens a nuclear war and holds the world hostage. No, 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 no. I want a movie where Superman is trying to go out on a date with Lois Lane, but Lex Luthor, the toy man... The prankster and Mr. Mitzias Pitalik, four morons dressed like idiots, ruin his day and get his cape dirty. And he has to turn back. Yeah. This is what superheroes are and have been and should be again. I don't need them to be commentaries on like who the president is at the moment.
I want the late Richard Pryor to come back and reprise his role in Superman 3.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Human Torch. Oh, I'm sorry. Look, if you can't to make that joke.
Yeah, I know. He made that joke himself, so.
No, I swear to God, I mentioned, we talked the other day about the prankster, by the way.
Yeah.
That is just the worst character, right?
Worst slash best.
I have come around on the prankster because I used to, like, see pictures of him, or, like, there'd be a comic cover where he's like, oh, at last, a plan, I put a kryptonite thumbtack in Superman's chair while he was teaching this night school class. I used to think, like, oh, this is why, like, people hate comics, because they suck. Now every time I look at the prankster, I'm like, this fucking rules. It's just, like, this ugly piece of shit. This guy that hurts to look at, who, like, looks and acts like... How did I describe him? He's, like, the band's manager in an album skit.
Yeah.
He looked horrible, dresses horribly. He looks like the uncle that molested Alfred E. Newman, which got him into his line of work. Like, he became, Alfred E. Newman became a comedian to, like, work through the trauma of it. Yeah. That's the fucking prankster. And because, again, every Superman comic for three decades was just like, oh, I copyrighted the letter S, so you have to change your costume. The day Uperman ucked, a thrilling 32-page giant. And they'd always have him hang out with the Toy Man, who was just like him if he looked like Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
Like, these, why did we need two of these shitty characters? And then both of them are just shittier versions of Mitzelplick. It was that thing where they hadn't thought of, like, oh, maybe Superman could fight, like, Zod, or like, an evil version of himself. Or, you know, we can't just do Luther every month. So all they could think of was, like, there's, like, a guy who's 3 feet tall who, like, put a fake spider in Superman's lunch pail. I don't know what to tell you. This is what we're doing. If you don't like this, read DuckTales. I don't give a shit.
He said that he's like a Tim Robinson yes! character.
No.
Okay. All I want to know is, do any of these little fuckers hop off their pedestal in the Fortress of Solitude and start jizzing everywhere?
No. It's perfect. What, like, I used to think it was just like he would do, I used to think it was like the Joker. Like, it was just like the merry prince of crime, but in Metropolis. I realized the distinction. I'm like, no, the Joker has like a weird, like, Pagliacci thing to him. There is something like truly sinister about, like, this.
Yeah.
Like, medieval, ashen-faced creep that, like, waltzing around with a cane and this thing that lives by night. That's not the prankster's deal. The prankster's deal is, like, you remember when Lex Luthor killed Swamp Thing in the Alan Moore comics and Metropolis felt so bad they built a statue of him?
Yeah.
The prankster's the dude who would go to Metropolis and rig up the statue so that it chugs a beer and then sprays actual piss on passersby.
Okay, that's a new movie. James Gunn, get on it.
Yeah, the prankster is the Who Farted t-shirt of comic book characters. And then I got down like a prankster wormhole because I was so fascinated by those. I saw a couple things. They brought him back, like, post-crisis. They brought him back in New 52, so he's hot now. You know that thing where,
yeah,
like,
I've seen him.
Yeah, you know that thing where, like, if a character's, because they did a version in the 90s where it's just like, what if the prankster could, like, do sit-ups and could reach the cookies on the top shelf?
Mm-hmm.
So he just looks like an Irish guy, basically.
Yeah. But,
yeah, the New 52 prankster, it's that thing of, if there's an old shitty character who sucks, like the prankster in Pastepot Pete, bring them back and make them look like Alucard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he has, like, a trench coat and long blonde hair, and you're like, you're still the prankster, my friend. I don't know what to tell you. I know your soul still looks like this thing. And I was reading the, oh, yeah, I told you. And I was like, it's a comic character, so the Wikipedia is, like, bizarrely detailed. It's, like, literally every story ever featuring the character.
Yeah.
And there was one where it says, at one point, the prankster and the Joker teamed up to commit crimes, but the prankster double-crossed the Joker, and the Joker swore revenge. I'm like, oh! I didn't read to the end of this story, but I assume it involved the prankster having his hands sewed to his ankles and his feet sewed to his wrist.
And his nose taken off and stitched upside down, like in that Patton Oswalt routine.
Good God. Like, I get that it was probably, like, in the 60s. Like,
yeah.
A fucking, like, coloring book or something. But when you, I want to see that in, like, the modern day version of it, like, the current, like, Joker that's in style.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see somebody prank, like, the Heath Ledger Joker. Where it's like, in this episode of Punked, Ashton Kutcher gets the best of Joseph Stalin.
Yeah.
No, I have totally come around on the prankster. Again, the only thing I want to see in, like, comic movies anymore is if, like, a weird thing that sucks and ruins the movie. That's why I like Wonder Woman 84. That's why I want Prankster to fight. Let's just have, like, a racist prankster who fights the Ta-Nehisi Coates Superman.
God.
Yeah. Like, let's just go whole hog. It's like, we can't spoil a character that people like or would put on a t-shirt. Like, if we have a racist, it has to be a character who everybody already hates.
Yes.
Like, who is the single most despicable character in the traditional sense of the word, meaning easy to despise?
Yeah.
Who is the worst character ever? Fucking Prankster. You hear like a whoopee cushion noise from the other room, like, you rang? yeah, okay, we can do that. Anyways, there's not going to be a Zatanna or Supergirl or Black Superman movie. We're not, that's not happening.
Yeah.
As far as what is happening, I don't know. We wanted to get this out in time for like the next episode. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe James Gunn will drop the glorious 10-year plan within the next couple days, but they haven't yet.
Yeah.
Do you have any predictions for the James Gunn-iverse?
I think it will be more obscure characters. And I think that the slant will be comedic. Comedic, and I think it will be like his movies, comedic and starkly violent.
Yeah, might work. I mean, it works for some characters. It is sort of funny that when he did Suicide Squad, they offered him, they said, like, you can do anybody you want. Like, we're just doing this to, like, show up Marvel anyways, so.
Yeah.
Like, direct the next Batman movie if you want to. He specifically said, like, I didn't want to do Superman because everybody expects something from Superman. Nobody expects anything from the Detachable Kid and Peacemaker and
yeah,
all those characters. That does mean that it's kind of funny that he's now making the next Superman movie.
Yeah.
I do like James Gunn. I feel like he's at his best when they just kind of let him do his thing. We talked before, like, specials, Super, and The Suicide Squad are kind of like a trilogy
mm-hmm.
where he just kept tricking people into giving him more money.
Yeah.
Certainly not making it back after Suicide Squad. Whereas the Guardians movies, I like them. I like them way better than any other Marvel movie. I'm going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
That will be the first time I go see a Marvel movie. In 5 years, because the last one I saw was Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I've seen since then, period, is Endgame, and I watched that at home.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go, but I'm going to go the way you go to, like, a high school reunion. Like,
yeah.
I'm just, like, popping in to see how everyone's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think after that Guardians holiday special they put out, I was like, this has gone from being something I like to something I remember liking.
Yeah.
They've been away too long, and the holiday special's not that hot, to be honest. It's probably better than She-Hulk or whatever, but I'm like, yeah, this is like I don't need the PG version of the thing I like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the Funko version of the thing I like, so I'll do that, but that'll probably be it. What I actually expect from James Gunn, and like the James Gunn Generalissimo's glorious 10-year plan, I bet it's going to be exactly the same as everything else. Like, I'm sorry, but if he directs a movie, it'll probably feel like a James Gunn movie.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being the overseer, like the Kevin Feige of the whole thing,
yeah,
I bet that people are like, wow, like, what does he have planned? What's he building in there? Mm-hmm. You know? I think we're going to do that for another month or two. Then the plan will come out, and it'll be a 10-year timeline, and it will be, we're going to do a Teen Titans movie, a Green Lantern Corps movie, a Superman movie, and then at the end, like, it'll be a, like, the new Batman after the Matt Reeves Batman
yeah.
will, like, appear in a crossover to fight it'll be Tower of Babel or one of those things. Mm-hmm. I think somebody like leaked, I think it was bogus, but somebody was like, I got the plan, and it was like some PowerPoint thing. I think it was bullshit, but it doesn't matter because it's exactly what you think it would be.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they're not going to make like a new Swamp Thing movie or anything. It's like, okay, what already has a TV show and what already has a video game?
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably make a movie about that. We'll probably get a Green Lantern. We might even get a Doom Patrol movie.
Yeah.
I don't fucking think that we're going to get anything mind-blowing or obscure. And it's not going to be as successful as Marvel, the most successful thing ever.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because if they had just done that to start with, it feels like a real, you know, goose that laid the golden egg.
Mm-hmm.
After Man of Steel and Wonder Woman and Dawn of Justice, it was like, hey, are you guys content just like making sick amounts of money and being like the fifth or sixth most successful thing ever? Like, no, fuck that. It's Marvel or nothing. And then, they fail.
Yeah.
The same way it's like, we could be, that's the problem. When you roll the dice on that, you could be the Marvel Universe, or you could be Universal's Dark Universe.
Mm.
Guess which one's more likely?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you wanted to continue making Snyder movies, you know, continuing the DC Snyderverse, just get his AD to do them.
Yeah. Which, I'm sorry, I know we probably wrap it up very, very shortly, I know, but the whole thing was like, oh, like, Snyder movies make money, but they do. However, critics and fans don't like them.
Who cares?
And I'm like, well, like, somebody bought like a fucking $1 billion worth of tickets to see Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they weren't fans. Maybe like non-fans is an even larger pool than you can draw from. And then also fans will go see it because of course they will. They'll mm-hmm. get that slop and like it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. When I look back on it now, it really does seem like just letting him continue to be like the taste setter for the time being
yeah.
would have avoided so much of this. I'm not even saying this as like a diehard fanboy. And like I've loved everything he's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a, you know, three-quarters fan of his, let's say.
Yeah.
But it's just like the moment he leaves is when everything crumbles. And it's like, well, we can't just keep making these, like, Snyder-esque movies because people hate them. Like, they really, like, Wonder Woman 1 feels like a Snyder-ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
The first Suicide Squad feels like a Snyder-ass movie, like a bad one.
But yeah.
Those are both in his mold and made plenty of money.
Mm-hmm.
Black Adam feels like a Snyder movie. That's what it feels like. Somebody without his, like, talents and, like, commitment...
Mm-hmm.
Going like, well, I can make it look like the Injustice fighting game if you want. Like,
yeah.
I can do that much for
yeah.
you. If you were just going to like boot him and make him, you know, the Azazel goat for the whole Enterprise, why are you still kind of doing his shtick?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, they'll come out with some new movies which make a little bit of money, but not as much as Marvel. Also, are we 100% sure that James Gunn is going to be the ringmaster for the next 10 years?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'd like him to be, like, I'd like him to be and do his thing, but that's probably not going to be it.
I get how at this point, especially after Black Adam, there's a sense that, like, somebody needs to get in the cockpit and, like, pull this thing up, like... Mm-hmm. We are not, like, descending, we are plummeting at
yeah.
this stage. I think that's why people have kind of convinced themselves, like, oh, like James Gunn flew up and saved the plane, and
yeah.
let's hope he's Superman and not Homelander.
Yeah.
but people seem to convince themselves, like, oh, okay, yes, like, he'll be in charge. He'll be the Kevin Feige of the corporation. I just look at that and I go, like, didn't we have eight of these guys?
Yeah.
is I like James Gunn. Is there a reason to think that he will last longer than Walter Hamada? What happens if James Gunn comes out with his plan and they make the first two movies and they perform below expectations? You don't think that, like, the lion in a business suit that runs the Discovery Channel isn't going to turn around in his chair and go, like, it's just not working out, Jimmy. We're going to have to go in another direction. Like, I still think that being the creative head of DC Films is the equivalent of being the drummer for Spinal Tap or the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. Yeah. Like, I better him than anyone else I could name, honestly. But, mm-hmm. like, I think we need to wait a while before we see, like, is he going to make it all the way to a third movie?
Yeah.
Because The Rock said that they were starting Phase 2. Every mm-hmm. DC movie since Dawn of Justice has been somebody getting ready to jump into, like, a game of Double Dutch. Like,
yeah.
This time for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but it is an awful lot of fun to talk about. There is one project that hasn't even been greenlit, but somebody suggested it. Somebody said Kumail Nanjiani could play Ambush Bug. He's apparently, like...
Okay.
Kumail would like to do Ambush Bug. You know, as much as I make fun of, like, the steroids and the Eternals and everything,
mm-hmm.
I like Kumail.
Yeah.
I think he's funny. I he might be a pretty good Ambush Bug, actually. Yeah. It would be fun for, like, his voice to be coming out of the Ambush Bug costume.
Yeah.
The only reason I saw this, though, is... Because when you said we were doing this episode, I was like, oh, is there any news? I just put in, like, DCEU and Google.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the stories. They reported on it, but here's the thing that's stuck in my craw. Is they said, Kumail Nanjiani says he'd like to play Ambush Bug. Ambush Bug is, like, a cult favorite, but somewhat obscure DC character. He's basically the DC universe. He's basically DC's version of Deadpool.
No, he's not.
I was like, I will see you out back.
Yeah.
This doesn't have to turn into a physical confrontation, but I'm like, I don't know how to put it. If anybody doesn't know Ambush Bug, it's so much weirder and more inside. It's mm-hmm. it's way more inside baseball than Deadpool is.
Yeah.
Because, like a Deadpool joke is like, oh, the Star Wars prequels sucked. Mm-hmm. An Ambush Bug joke is like, oh, our last editor-in-chief got fired for putting cameras in the women's room.
Yeah.
There's a real distinction between the characters. Deadpool is a robot chicken. And Ambush Bug is the rest of Adult Swim.
Yeah.
That's the distinction to parent life. But yeah, I had noticed that and I was like, oh, it's as good a time as I need to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, make an Ambush Bug movie. I'll go see that. Yeah. I will meet you halfway here.
Yeah, make an Ambush Bug movie. Some of these films will be made and others will not. We will just have to see.